In this session, we shall look at an IHT relief where assets fall in value during the lifetime of the donor. The relevant legislation is contained at Section 131 of the Inheritance Tax Act 1984. By way of an introduction, let us assume a taxpayer gives away an asset. Here, the asset is a house, and he makes a potentially exempt transfer of £100,000. Buildings normally increase in value, and the house duly does so between the date of the gift and the date of the donor's death. When the donor dies, the house is worth £500,000. Assuming the donor died within 7 years of the gift, the pet becomes chargeable, and the donee is responsible for paying the inheritance tax. The amount on which the donee is charged to IHT is the original pet of £100,000. There is no concept of revaluing a pet at the date of death. The effect of the transfer has been to freeze the value of the pet for inheritance tax purposes. This is very sensible tax planning, as by giving away an appreciating asset, i.e. an asset which is likely to go up in value, the donor has made sure that the subsequent increase in value has been removed from his death estate. If the donor had retained the asset until the date of his death, the value at death, i.e. £500,000, would have been charged to inheritance tax in his death estate. Therefore, as part of an overall estate planning exercise, if a donor wishes to make lifetime gifts, it is sensible to give away assets which are likely to increase in value. Let us now consider the other side of the coin, i.e. when an asset goes down in value between the date of the gift and the date of the donor's death. This time, let us assume that a donor gives away a building when it is worth £500,000 and makes a potentially exempt transfer. The asset falls in value such that on death of the donor, the building is worth only £100,000. Under general principles, there is no concept of revaluing a pet at the date of death, so the amount to be charged on the donee is the original pet of £500,000. This, however, leaves the donee with a large problem. He could potentially be paying inheritance tax at 40% on the pet, whereas in reality, he only has an asset which is worth £100,000. Therefore, he could be left with an asset which is worth less than the inheritance tax due. To alleviate this problem, the taxpayer may make a fall in value claim under Section 131 of the Inheritance Tax Act. Let us now examine how fall in value relief works. A fall in value claim is made by the donee to reduce the death tax on a lifetime gift. As we have seen in the previous example, a fall in value relief claim can be made to reduce death tax on a potentially exempt transfer. A similar claim could be made by the trustees to reduce any additional tax payable on chargeable lifetime transfers within 7 years of death. The amount of the fall of value relief is essentially the difference between the value of the asset at the date of the original gift and the value of the asset at the date of death. This fall in value reduces the amount which is charged to IHT on the death of the donor. It is also possible for the donee to make a fall in value claim if he no longer owns the asset at the date of the donor's death. Unlike BPR, there is no requirement for the donee to retain the asset in order to claim fall in value relief. If the donee has sold the asset before the donor dies, the amount of the fall in value relief is the difference between the value of the asset at the date of the gift and the gross sale proceeds. This difference is again deducted from the amount charged to inheritance tax at the date of the donor's death. We will illustrate this with an example. Peter owns a building. In December 2006, Peter gave the building to Paul. The building was worth £100,000 at the date of the transfer, and after deducting annual exemptions, Peter has made a pet of £94,000. Peter died in May 2010, at which point the building is worth £75,000. As you will see, the building has gone down in value between the date of gift and the date of death. Paul, therefore, has tax to pay on a pet of £94,000. However, as the value of Paul's asset at the date of death is lower than it was at the date of gift, Paul can make a fall in value relief claim under Section 131. The amount of the fall in value is simply the difference between £100,000 and £75,000. The building has gone down in value by £25,000. So this is Paul's fall in value claim. The amount chargeable to inheritance tax on the death of Peter is therefore £69,000. Paul will pay inheritance tax on this in the normal way, i.e. by deducting any available nil band and reducing the tax by any taper relief as appropriate. It is very important to note that for cumulation purposes, the original PET of £94,000 remains on the donor's clock. Therefore, a fall in value claim will affect the amount chargeable on Paul, but does not have any impact as far as the donor's brought forward total is concerned. One thing we must be careful of when considering Section 131 is the interaction between the fall in value relief and the loss to donor principle. If you remember back to basic principles of inheritance tax, we measure the value transferred for IHT purposes in terms of the loss to donor principle and by using related property rules. This will give us the value of the original PET or CLT. However, the way we measure fall in value relief is by looking at the loss to donee, i.e. the difference between the value of the donee's asset at the date of gift and either the value at death or the gross sale proceeds. Remember, we use the loss to donor to measure the value transferred, but consider the loss to donee when thinking about fall in value relief. Let's illustrate this by way of an example. Anthony has 7,500 shares, a 75% holding, of an unlisted investment company. Anthony's wife, Jane, owns the remaining 25% of the shares. In 2008, Anthony gives 2,000 shares to his friend, John. This is a potentially exempt transfer. The market values of the shares at the date of gift should now have appeared on your screen. The first thing we need to do is to identify the value transferred by Anthony. And to do this, we would consider the loss to donor and related property rules. Before the transfer, Anthony owned 75% of the shares. His wife Jane owned 25%. Their related property is therefore a 100% holding valued at £160,000. Anthony is therefore deemed to have had 75/100 of the value of a 100% holding, which in this instance is £120,000. We compare this to what Anthony has after the gift. After the transfer, Anthony has a 55% holding. Jane still has her 25% holding, so the related property is now 80%. An 80% holding is worth £100,000 at the date of gift. Therefore, Anthony has 55/80 of the value of an 80% holding, which here comes out to be £68,750. The value transferred for IHT purposes is the difference between these two numbers, being £51,250. From this, we can deduct two annual exemptions, giving Anthony a potentially exempt transfer of £45,250. Remember that this will bear no resemblance to what the donee owns at the date of the gift. Under basic principles of IHT, we measure the value transferred in terms of the loss to the donor, rather than the gain to the donee. John sold his shares for £8,000 in 2008. Anthony died in January 2011. The PET of £45,250 now becomes chargeable on John. At this point, John will consider whether he can make a fall in value claim. To do this, he will look at the value of his 20% holding at the date of the gift. At the date of the gift, a 20% holding, valued on its own, was worth £10,000. As John sold the shares prior to Anthony's death, we compare this with the gross proceeds of sale, which were £8,000. John's fall in value is therefore £2,000, and this can be deducted from the PET. The amount chargeable to inheritance tax on John will therefore be £43,250. From this, we will deduct any remaining nil band and calculate tax in the normal way. As far as other transfers are concerned, the original PET of £45,250 remains on Anthony's IHT clock. Where business or agricultural property is given away, and it falls in value between the date of gift and the date of death, there is an interaction between BPR and APR and Section 131. If the original transfer qualified for BPR or APR, then any fall in value relief is reduced by the same percentage. Any fall in value relief comes into our computation after any APR or BPR. This is important as far as the donor's cumulative total is concerned, as we shall see in the example on the next page.
Let's take a taxpayer who owns a building personally, and that building is used by a partnership of which he is a member. In May 2007, the taxpayer gave the building to his son when it was worth £800,000. This is a potentially exempt transfer, which may qualify for BPR, depending on what the son does with the building. Transfers of land and buildings which are used by a partnership qualify for the 50% rate of BPR. However, there is no point allocating the BPR against the pet. We simply consider the availability of BPR if the donor dies within 7 years. In March 2008, the taxpayer made a cash gift to a discretionary trust, which resulted in a chargeable lifetime transfer, i.e., after exemptions, of £100,000. As this is his first chargeable lifetime transfer, a full nil band would be available for 2007-08. The nil band will wipe out the transfer, leaving no inheritance tax payable. The donor died in January 2011. At that date, the building which was given to the son was worth £600,000. We will carry out two inheritance tax calculations. The first will be on the pet to the son in May 2007. As the gift was of business property, we will consider the availability of BPR to reduce the transfer on death. You will also note in this example that the building has fallen in value between the date of gift and the date of death. So the son will consider making a Section 131 claim. The second inheritance tax calculation will be on the chargeable lifetime transfer in March 2008. We start by calculating the death tax on the pet in May 2007. The value of the building in May 2007 was £800,000.
Assuming the son has retained the building at the death of the donor, BPR will be available. As the building was owned by the donor and used by his partnership, BPR is given at a rate of 50%, leaving a transfer of value of £400,000. From this, we deduct two annual exemptions, giving a chargeable transfer of £394,000. At this point, the donee, i.e. the son, will consider a fall in value claim. The building was worth £800,000 at the date of gift and £600,000 at the date of death. So, the fall in value is £200,000. However, as the original transfer qualified for 50% BPR, we must similarly reduce the fall in value claim by 50%. Fall in value relief is therefore £100,000, leaving a taxable amount on death of £294,000. As this was the first ever lifetime transfer, a full nil band is available on death. This covers the chargeable transfer, leaving nothing chargeable to inheritance tax at the death rate of 40%. The next question to consider is what goes on to the donor's clock for accumulation purposes. There are two things to consider here. When pets become chargeable on the death of the donor for accumulation purposes, we take the value of the pet after any BPR has been given. However, when a donee has made a fall in value claim, this does not affect the brought forward total for accumulation purposes. Therefore, the amount which goes on to the donor's clock for accumulation purposes is £394,000. This is why, in your computation, it is important to take any APR or BPR before any fall in value relief. The second tax computation to prepare is the tax on the chargeable lifetime transfer from March 2008. The chargeable transfer was £100,000. The nil band at the date of death is £325,000. From this, we must deduct any chargeable transfers in the 7 years before March 2007.
If we look back 7 years from March 2007, what is on the clock for accumulation purposes is £394,000, as we identified on a previous page. This brought forward total uses up the whole of the nil ban, so the CLT chargeable on death is £100,000. The tax payable by the trustees at 40% is therefore £40,000. In summary, where a pet becomes chargeable on death, the cumulative total is affected by business property relief, and then the annual exemptions, but is unaffected by any fall in value claims under Section 131. Finally, in this session, there are a couple of additional points to bring to your attention. No fall in value claim can be made by a donee under Section 131 if the property gifted to him is a wasting chattel. A wasting chattel is tangible, movable property with a useful life not exceeding 50 years. The revenue will not give fall in value relief on an asset which is almost certain to fall in value anyway. Finally, no fall in value relief claims can be made by a donee if the property originally transferred to him was cash. By way of an example, let us assume a donor gifts cash to a donee. The donee uses the cash to buy a house. The house subsequently falls in value. The donor dies within 7 years, such that the pet becomes chargeable. It is not possible for the donee to make a Section 131 claim in respect of the fall in value of the house because the original asset gifted to the donee was the cash. The fact that the donee used the cash to buy an asset which has subsequently fallen in value does not entitle him to any relief.